Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the things that you accomplish through us, and for those things that you will accomplish through us. I bless your name, O Father. I give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father, for each and every person who is in this place, and for the wonderful word that you have for us this day. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for last Saturday's conference. The scripture says, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Amen? A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. We'll stick with the first part. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. The second one is not relevant today. Praise the Lord. Unless we have any fools here. No, we don't. Okay. But then also, you know, every time that you get into the depth of end time teaching and understanding how close we are and the times in which we live, then you pray to God for the grace to do things quickly, quickly. Amen? Like, not to... Because, you know, there was a time way back when you'd ask somebody, what are you doing? Then he says, I'm seeking the Lord. The year starts, the year ends, and he's seeking the Lord. And somehow, it was okay at the time. But it is so not okay at this time. You'd rather be caught doing something which is not the perfect will of God. Because it is easier for you to be steered into the perfect will of God when you're doing something, rather than getting to a place of stagnation, especially after a desire accomplished, whatever it is. It could be a desire like, you know, yeah, the wedding was wonderful and good. But then you see the Apostle Paul says, let those who are married live as if they are not married. Okay? Now, in these end times, because he says, because of the days in which we live, because you see, in this end time, everything has to change. You might want to fashion your marriage after what you knew it to be, how your parents used to do it, and so on. But they lived in a different time from what we are. Okay? Now, the basics, of course, are the same. Eh? But the reality is that there are things which could have been done even in the wonderful, beautiful sphere of marriage 20 years ago, that right now, if you are really going to accomplish anything that is of eternal value, you have to somehow, you know, because it says, let those who are, even those who are married, live as if they are not. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. You know, that's profound. Because there are those who have none, and yet they live as if they have like wives. And yet the scripture is saying, let those who have live as though they do what? They don't have. So you see that, be saying, because the time is so short and because the things that have to be done in the short time are so many, and so somehow you have to pray God to give you the grace to move from one thing as good as it was to leave it there and move on to the next. You understand? So that there is one thing after the other after the other, because the time calls for such, you know, a set of mind where there is nothing, however good or however bad it was, that is going to make you stagnate and you start parking around a certain success and saying, wow, that was beautiful. And then you have any moment to think about it. Praise the Lord. So you have something wonderful in your life, something beautiful. But then, because you know the end result, you know, a man of God who attended the conference was amazed by that. And I've showed it a number of times here. The quote from the other old man, Albert Pike, when he's talking about how we are going to do this, and we are going to do this, we are going to unleash atheism to destroy Christianity. And then atheism is not the end result when all of them, but anyhow, we unleash atheism to destroy Christianity. Then Christians become disillusioned. Then after that, when they are disillusioned, because their souls will always yearn up for somebody to worship, then now we bring the true doctrine of Lucifer. And now he's giving a game plan for over 100 and something years after he died. Now, what the man of God told me is that, do you know that a believer in such a place, especially a believer of today, will say, we'll build a house in this place, then build a mall, then do what? Now, the thing is, there is a way these people think in terms of conquest of souls, you understand? Which is the ultimate game plan, which has somehow eluded the believer for the most part, who is thinking, but because of course even the things of, you know, building those things is all part of, you know, the dominion, even the things of increase, of abundance, is all part of the dominion, and it's all for the purpose of winning over souls. Now, if you have that in mind, then your mind is in the right place. But if you don't realize that even the prosperity which God promises, the end time church, the things which the, you know, you remember the Joseph generation, when Joseph sends his brothers and God tells them that, go and tell Israel, my father, that I am still alive and I am great and I am all these things. And now, the scripture says when they arrived there and they told Jacob that Joseph is not dead, he's alive, it says his heart stopped. But it says when he saw the chariots and the wonderful things that Joseph had sent, he was revived. There is a revival coming because people are going to see chariots of gold and silver. Now, you don't just send a word and say that, go and tell him that Joseph is what? Is alive. No, you send something to accomplish it. Because the man could have died. But then when he saw the, you know, the food, the chariots and what, all the horses of Egypt, then he says, yeah, now I believe Joseph is alive. So let me get, you know. Then Israel says, it is enough, Joseph, my son is still alive. Start from verse 25, say. When they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them. You understand? He did not what? Believe them. Now, but there is something which is going to make people believe in these end times. You understand? But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Now, this is end time revival. Amen? There are some people who have been carried over into the world because that's where they seem to see success. That's where they seem to see abundance. So they do not believe. And even when they would have believed, their heart stops. But God plans this whole abundance thing so that when, now I'll give you an example. There is a guy who... People believe because of so many reasons. And even some believers who are unbelieving believe because of so many reasons. You understand? Now, there's a guy whom I know from my home place who came here for the conference. He came for the first one and he went back saying, Some of the things he says are a bit true. But I don't believe most of them, you know what. So, I said, I think somehow, you know. Then the next time, When I went to Hoima, he was one of those who are there but are not there. They come there to find something to criticize. Now, this time, he comes and this time they told me, he went saying, but man, the truth is that guy has revelation. Now, and you know, listen. Do you know why he believed that? He said, man, and even the lunch was very good. Now, that is a pastor. That's the past. Now, there are some people, and now because God wants everyone to be saved, he's going to make sure that if it is food, he will use food to save the souls of what? Of people. If it is, you know, Range Rovers, he will use Range Rovers. Because what is a person's soul worth? It is worth the blood of Jesus. So if it takes you to have a certain amount of abundance so that people can finally believe, you understand, when they see the abundance, the glamour that is this side, then God will use it because somehow those people also have to be saved. You understand? Anybody who can be saved by any means. Now this year, Jacob, Joseph is alive, he did not believe them. But when he saw the carts and the things which he had sent and all the horses and what, which of course he knew he did not have those means. These are not things which, those people went on donkeys. But now when they return from Egypt, they return with horses and chariots and carts to carry his things. Then he says, now he believed and his spirit was revived. And he says, now I'll go and do what? And see Joseph. It is enough that my son is alive. Now, this whole thing of tying everything that we are doing to the purpose of God, okay? And that is actually going to create, is going to make it easy for everyone to connect with this purpose. Because as I've told you before, the matter of end time dominion, especially financial dominion, is really, really a matter of Bible, you know, prophecy. So just like all the other prophecies, it also has to come to pass. And it's talking about the church, not abundance out there. It has to start within the church. Now, it all has to be tied because there is a disconnect when people want the right thing for the wrong reasons. And if they, you want it and God wants it for you, but you want it like a child, you're still childish. You are not seeing the end result that this thing is good for me. However, as far as God is concerned, this whole thing is ending here. But by me having it, we can win over a few other Jacobs who will see the horses and the chariots and the carts. Of course, you can translate that to what? Modern language. I taught you that at the conference. So you can translate that now. There are people who will have to see that to actually believe and say, this is it. Because as I told you, like those places, you go up country and then as soon as you finish, these people who are spreading wealth creation money, go there and tell the pastors, no, 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 those are false prophets. Now for us, we are going to put money into your circles and so on. But then the pastors say, how is it that the people who are false seem to be the ones having money? And the people who claim to be true cannot have money unless it comes from what? From wealth creation. And it is so clear that these ones have no connection with that. They have what? But why is it that they seem to be the ones with something? So imagine somebody sees cats and says, now I believe that Jesus is Lord. Or sees chicken and says, now I what? I believe that Jesus is coming soon. And, you know, it's okay. I bring it as a joke, but it's the truth. It's actually what happened. And he has actually believed because of that. Now, you present something which is not to a certain whatever, then even your message is compromised because you're speaking grand things which you do not look like. You know? There's some friend of mine, old Muganda man, who told me that, who believes, who is, you know these people who are always suit, you know? And even tells you how much he bought it and all that. So he told me that amagezi botogambaza rubarugezigezi. So imagine some guy comes looking shabby and he's saying wise things. But people will not see the wisdom. They will just say, this man is a wiseacre. It's a thin line between wise and wiseacre. Or magezi and lugezigezi. You understand? And it's all in the way you present yourself. Praise the Lord. But anyhow, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Put this in Amplified. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately. Not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of the time. Buying each opportunity. Because the days are evil. Now, this whole thing of buying each opportunity. That thing of when opportunity comes. Now, there was a time when you would have an opportunity and then it passes you by and then you know that was an opportunity for me. Okay? And you kind of are like, man, it was an opportunity. I remember I just come from a wedding. And you know how you can be when you've come from a wedding, when you're not like in this abundant living. I'm talking about some years ago. Like you've exhausted every means. You had wedding, honeymoon, so somehow money is tight, real tight. So at that time, something happened. I was staying in Bugolobi Flat, Block 9. Now, the woman who was my landlord, you know that time they used to pay, the flats belong to National Housing, and they would pay 250,000, shillings every month to National Housing. But then, of course, we would rent the flats. I was paying, I think, 500,000 at the time. Because, of course, the woman is the one who owned the flat to National House. She didn't own it. National House owned it, but she's the one. So there's what they would call goodwill. Soon after the wedding, when I'm completely flat out broke, where somebody gives you 100,000 and it revolutionizes your life. Because you are going to buy fuel for 20K. What? You understand? Eh? You know those moments when every money is what? Calculated. Now something happened. The woman who owned the flat, her husband was transferred. He was working for Stanbic and he was transferred to South Africa. So she had to give up her job here and go with him. So she was going. So she came and told me that give me 7 million goodwill and I pass the flat on from my name to yours. And then now you can pay National Housing directly. Now I said 7 million. Now 100K can revolutionize your life. She's saying 7 million. Now if she had come before the wedding, 7 million would not have been like so out of stretch. But you know, it was a temporal thing. But the thing is, I did not recognize the opportunity that God was giving me a wedding gift. So now what happened is I said no. I will continue paying rent. But the point is, actually, if I had just opened my eyes, I could have found a way of finding the 7 million shillings, even at the time. And God wanted me to look up. You remember what I told you the other time? I was looking down. I don't have money. Even fuel is tight. Even this is tight. You know where you get 50K and you go to the market and you want to shop food for 2 weeks with 50K? That was how tight things are. But I was looking down. Eh? And yet God wanted me to lift up your eyes. You understand? Eh? And see. Now, I refused to lift up my eyes and see. So I told the woman no. Now, as it is, some other guy came, a lawyer, came and paid the 7 million comfortably and then took on the flat. Now, immediately after the woman left, National Housing decided to sell the flats and they said those who own the flats, who whatever, you pay 250K every month, you own the flat in 7 years. It becomes yours. Now, here is the thing. I was paying 500K. So I would have owned the flat in what? 3.5 years. But that is now like 15 years ago. And I am still renting. I still don't have a house. Okay? So it's only later on that I realized that actually God was giving me what? A wedding gift. And the opportunity came and passed me by. As soon as I said no, and the other man paid, then National Housing decided to sell the flats almost instantly. Then the people who had them, now goodwill, moved from 7 million to like 50 million, 60 million. Because the flats were being sold about 45 and they were worth much more than that. You understand? And then also, here is the thing. I left the flats almost soon after. Then Indians came and took them up and they were paying rent of 1.5 million for those flats. So I could even have owned the flat in less than 1 year by hiring it out to an Indian and getting his money and giving it to National Housing. You understand? Eh? The opportunity passed me by. So now, here is the thing. That was so many years ago. But now, if anything like that passed, and I'm not talking even about an opportunity for me to own a house. I'm just talking about an opportunity to do something that where you missed God, this is where you realize that this is something which God wanted for me. But I missed it because I did not lift up my eyes. I was looking down, looking at my situation at the time and thinking this is out of my reach. But I only had to just think a bit beyond my circumstances and 7 million would have come. So anyhow, making the most of time, buying each opportunity because the days are evil, which really means the days are few, eh? Evil few. So then, as God does it, there's not only one opportunity. Then there's another one which came. Eh? So this second one, some guy, a friend of mine, comes and tells me there's this house which they are selling. So somewhere, that side, Zana. But then I realized it was a good neighborhood. The houses around were good and what, but it was a shell of a house. And they were asking for money, which was really good. And the man told me, the guy who brought knows me very well. He's my friend. So he knew me. He knew everything about me. So he told me, you can get this money. Get the money and buy the house. But I said, I don't have it. But you're saying you can't get it. Now, the thing is, I also didn't see that opportunity. But yet, actually, it was a beautiful, only raised place like this. There were good houses around. Apparently, so many people from Cheyo had bought the houses around and had constructed good houses. It was a beautiful neighborhood. Okay, to cut a long story short, that opportunity was what? Passed me by because I did not what? lift up my eyes. I was looking at my currency. They were asking, actually, I think, for 35 million. 35 million. 35 million. And there I was convinced that I could not get 35 million. Of course, I did have it in the bank. But I only had to lift up my eyes. And I would get it. Because that's how God does things. He will never give you something that is within your instant reach. Because his interest in you is to lift your faith. Now, if I had lifted my faith a little for the flat, I would get the flat, and God also gets what he wants, that is to lift my faith. You understand? Then he gives you another opportunity. It always has to have a stretch where you have to stretch, because his interest is lifting your faith. Okay? And it's not your comfort. You see? Because some people expect that God is interested in their comfort. You don't have comfort. Comfort. He's not. Okay? Unless you've earned it. You understand? He's interested in your development, not in your comfort. So you have to develop. And all the time, it involves getting out of comfort. Getting out of somewhere where you're comfortable, where you know how to survive. I know how to operate here. I can, when I'm here, I know. I cannot, you know, yeah, the person at the Kaduka there, I can take, you know, food for up to 200, 300,000, and it's okay. I'll pay him when I get the money. Then the children go to the school there. They also know me. So if school fees is what? So now, you get into a comfort. And you actually can survive there for years. But then God says, no. Now, if you're really going to develop, the first thing you say, get away from that place. And now go to a place where you are not comfortable. That's where there is development. You see, he will never give you something that you can do. He's like, you know those guys who you go to the gym, eh? Then the guy tells you that I want you to do, okay, like some exercise. Let's say 20 times. Then you reach 15 and he sees you're still powerful, energetic. You say, no, 40. Eh? Because he's not interested in your comfort, he's interested in your development. If he sees you can do 20 easily, he will say, no, now I want 40. If the day you can do 40 comfortably, you will say, I want 60. You understand? Eh? And it is always about stretching. Now, it's the same thing, really, because now, if you refuse, now that's where the problem comes, and that's where, of course, so many people stagnate, and they say, I want God to increase my means, then I can leave this place. And God says, I want you to leave that place, then I can increase your means. Then there, just 1 year, 2 years, I'm waiting on the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I am waiting on you. Huh? Okay? Because if he increased and you moved, there would be no faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? It does not say it's difficult. It is impossible to please him. So there has to be faith. There has to be that, okay, I'm stepping out of here. This is comfort. It is not good, but I have to step out of it if I am going to walk with the Lord. Amen? Now, so then you realize that people... easily. So you start celebrating small successes. A small success, and you stay there. Then 1 year, you're still giving the same testimony. Now, God is giving us the grace, eh? Because of the times we are living in, eh? To move from one accomplishment to the other. Eh? Now, let me tell you something. Like, sometimes I look at the things I do myself, and I'm shocked that I can do them. Because if there's anybody who actually valued their comfort, it was me, eh? But now when I come in a place of comfort, I become very uncomfortable. That how come I'm not having to stretch my faith somehow? How come there is not, what else is, what's there to do? So you finish one thing and then, okay, it was good. Yeah, we had a good thing. Now what's next? Now next we have this, next we have this, next we have this. And you realize that there is no time whatsoever for resting because we're living in the last days and the days are evil. Now, you have to spread your influence across the country. You have to spread the message across the country. You have to do ABC. And there are so many things that have to be accomplished. And every time you wake up, you are surrounded with this thought that there is so much to do and so little time to do it. So you do not have moments of sitting and relaxing and saying, wow, you know, yeah, we finished. You know, the wedding was good. You know, yeah, in the Bible, when a man wedded, he was given a full year without going to war. So that he can be with his virgin. Somebody said that's not the end time. Eh? End time, nobody's going to give you a year to be with a virgin. That is not going to happen in the times in which we are living. But the truth is, there is so much to be accomplished in this time. We'll have to chill somewhere else, maybe on the balconies of heaven. Okay, because the days are evil. So now when you realize that, now here is the mistake so many people make. You wake up in the morning, and I'm sure people have had these things where you feel, man, there's so much to do. Where do I start? And I used to be overwhelmed by those things. So I have to do this, I have to do that. Now how am I going to do it? And I'm overwhelmed. Then I realize that actually, my doing is creating, bringing things into birth more than actually doing, you know, with my movement and physical abilities, which is also true for everybody. So then you realize that, okay, now when I feel like that and I feel overwhelmed, it is because I did not spend enough time in the presence of God. And because I'm operating at a revelation that is beneath where I'm supposed to be. So then I realize I go into the presence of God, and then I start thanking God, enter with thankfulness. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Yeah, some of you went to Christian Union or Scripture Union in school. So, anyhow, so you enter into his... Now, the reason, of course, people struggle to connect is because they do not know how to psych themselves with thankfulness. The easiest way to enter, to connect in prayer, is to actually really be thankful. Okay? To really put on an attitude of thankfulness for all everything that's happening around your life. Now, then you put on and that attitude of, man, I'm so thankful. God, I thank you. This is wonderful. This went well. This was beautiful. This one didn't go so well, but I learned, you know, something from it. This one was perfect. And so you enter with, you know, an attitude of thankfulness and praise. Now, when you enter like that, it is so easy for you to actually feel like a connection, okay? And even feel the presence of God in that moment. So you start now, and it's a big difference when you're praying and you feel like God is distant from when you feel he's near. Of course, all the time he's near, but it is you who has to adjust yourself. And the attitude of thankfulness helps adjust you completely to how close God is and how he's in charge. And then it also brings you into a place of faith where you can believe anything is possible. Colossians chapter 2 verse 7 says that. Colossians 2 7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, in faith, through thanksgiving. Okay? Abounding in faith through what? Thanksgiving. Now, it is so difficult for you to actually believe God for something big when you've not thanked him for anything that he's done. And of course, it's so now. Then you enter. Now, the first thing that happens when you actually connect... Now, here is the interesting thing. The first thing that happens when you connect is you start when you're full of God is good, he has done all these things and so on. And you almost feel like you're accomplished. You're somebody who is accomplished. Like, you know, ya uriwa kabi, sort of thing. But now, the longer you stay there, you actually start feeling a sense of emptiness. Okay? You start feeling empty. You start feeling like, you know, there's very little, you know. There is something that, like, there is a gap inside you. Have you ever been full, very, very full? You've eaten a lot. Then you take, there are those things which you used to take. No, what? What's that? Then it creates space suddenly. Then you feel like, you know, yet you are bloated a while ago. Now you feel an emptiness arising. Then when that emptiness arises, then you understand what the scripture means when it says, blessed are the poor, because they shall be filled. Because when you're full, there's nothing to feed you with. But when you're hungry and God creates a hunger, then he's going to feed you with something. Then he's going to lift you up to a higher level of revelation than you have been at. Okay? A higher level of understanding. And now here is the thing. That's why people stagnate. Because you're operating your life on a revelation, which was for some time ago. But you have not updated it. Even on your phones, the software keeps on saying, update software, update software, update software. Now, If softwares have to be updated every day, why do you want to live your life on a revelation of, you know, so many years ago? Because some God told you something some years ago, and now that is it. So you want to. Now, but you see, every time you actually connect in the presence of God, the first thing that happens is that emptiness, which God creates. Eh? And then you get ready to receive. Then, now you are operating at a certain level. Now, when you see all those people, now I was telling a gentleman whom I know very well, who is a teacher of giving, and not just a teacher, he's a practitioner of it. So he does what he talks about. So he's a good giver, you know, and so he sees a certain level, you know, of prosperity. So he kept on saying what the Lord told him about about giving. So I was like, okay, that's wonderful. Then I wanted to tell him that, you know, you can bring it to another level. Now, do you know that you can actually lift it up to the next level if you decided to now add meditation onto it, and you can make it sharper and give it a bigger end result, and you'll get a lot more abundance out of your giving than you're currently getting right now? The man was offended because I was trying to destroy what God told him 10 years ago. So actually that ended our friendship, you know. Eh? Now, because he packed at a revelation, and now when you go to God, you do not, you remember that Pharisee who Jesus talks about and said, God, I thank you because, you know, I tithe everything I get. I'm not like the other tax collector. For me, I have everything. And what? Now, there's a different way. You can actually be like that when you go to God, when you're an accomplished knower. There's nothing you want to know from him. Okay? Now, then somebody goes and releases himself to be empty. And in the process of emptiness, he gets a fresh revelation, which is going to lift his life up to the next level. You understand? And now life is revelation. Life is revelation. That's why it says in, you know, Psalms chapter 61, verse 2. Listen to what it says. It says, from the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. You understand? So you are overwhelmed with something. And now that overwhelming sometimes comes when God wants to give something to you, eh? Where he withholds something from you, or you do not seem to see something. Now you had the revelation, and you knew, I do this, it works. I do this, it works. I do this, it works. Okay? Then, remember like that story I told you of Kenneth Hagin when he goes to God and tells him that, you said that if we are willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. I am obedient and I am willing, but I am not seeing the good. I am broke. My car is, you know, very old. The tires are like, the outside tires are like the tube inside. Nothing is working out. Christmas is coming. I don't even have money to buy presents for my kids. And now, here is a man who had been pastoring a church. I know the way they do in those places. A pastor, they give you Saturday, what? You know, and the church, he said the church was taking care of him. Then the Lord told him that, I didn't call you to be a pastor. So leave this church and go and start doing field ministry. So after some years of field ministry, nothing is working out. Then he says he took some time to go and pray to God. And say, why is it that nothing seems to be working out? What am I doing wrong? Now, in that moment, after the Lord tells him, gives him a revelation, and tells him why he is not seeing that which he wants. And he gave it in a way which was shocking. He told him that, you're obedient, but you're not willing. Then he said, what do you mean? He actually said that, Lord, that's a low blow. Eh? You know, a low blow is a blow below the belt, which can injure, you know, what's below the belt. Eh? Even in boxing, they don't allow it. You don't punch somebody down there. Even in the Bible, do you know that the Bible says, you know, I read that scripture and I laughed. The Bible says, if a woman has a quarrel with a man and she injures him there, put her to death. You injure him anywhere else, but the generations are there. So you leave them alone. Eh? Now, I read that actually it's in the Bible. Eh? So those things of what? Kicking a man, you know, be careful. Eh? They will. Eh? You're touching something which is precious to the Lord. Eh? Okay. It's the truth, by the way, it's in the scripture. Eh? So I wonder why God puts those things there. Okay. Now, I had to make you laugh a bit. Because some of you are so serious, as if we're already in prayer. I'm just telling you how to go there. So, anyhow, praise the Lord. So he told him that you're not willing. So he said, what do you mean I'm not willing? He said, because you don't think you deserve the best things in the world. But that is very, very true of so many believers. That's why they get angry when they see somebody who has the best things. Because they don't see themselves as equally deserving of those things. You understand? Now, when you break that cycle, you cannot get angry that somebody who is a child of God is rich. You can never, never. Or even anybody, by the way, is rich. But that, it's a spirit of poverty which gets people angry at wealth. So somebody came and told him, can you imagine? They went and released the salary of CEOs who earn a lot of money. And the guy was saying, but man, this country has gone to the dogs. Can you imagine these people earn all this money? I said, no. What shows it has gone to the dogs is that somebody earning 100,000. How do you live on 100,000 in a month? Now that one will make me angry and give me a sleepless night. Not somebody who is earning 100 million a month. That one I don't have to worry about him. He's okay. You understand? I would only worry, but I would only concern myself with somebody who is getting 100,000 shillings. So you say then, how does he survive? How does he buy food and what? But now when you get angry over the other side, that is the spirit of what? Of poverty. Now that's what shows that somebody is not willing to, because they do not see their connection to that thing. They do not appreciate that I can also have that. If anybody can have it, I can have it. So why should I get angry when I can actually have my way there? So eventually he told him, he gave him an example. He said that, that was 1950s. Air conditioning was not that, prevalent as it is right now. So he told him that now you see, if you put air conditioning in a church, the believers will say this is a waste of money. How can you waste money? But he said, but you go to discotheques. The children of the devil believe they should have the best things. But the believers don't believe they should have the best things. When you do something, but why should the church spend? Why should they do this? And now that is, they don't understand that actually you're not willing to be rich. You have refused because you have to first believe that you deserve it. You understand? Now they told me, they were telling me of some friend of mine who came and told me that, and he was even telling me this as if it's a very powerful thing. No, he came and said, he was a man of God. So he came and said, some guy came and bought for him a shoe. That was way back, worth 800,000 shillings. It was a very beautiful shoe. They said, I bought for you this shoe. Najibu said, 800,000? I bought it for you. Then the man looked at him and said, but you, do you know what I could have done with that money? Then do you know what he told him? That if you do not have the heart to get that money and give it to me, and you'd rather buy me a shoe, I don't even want the shoe. And he refused the shoe. And he told me the story himself. And I was saying, look at a fool. That's Bamanja rent, what? Now that you have refused the shoe, have you gotten rent? Wouldn't you rather be rentless with a good shoe? Like, that is stupidity. That is absolute stupidity. But you see, that is a sign that somebody is not willing. He does not think he deserves something so good. So they resist it. Your spirit resists it. So you give somebody something good, and they resist it. You should not have. What do you want from me? How can you want? And, like, you're not, you want, you wish, but you don't want it enough. You don't think you deserve it. So I told him, okay, so when you refused the shoe, what did he do? He said he went and gave it to somebody else. And I said, then how did you benefit? He said, I made a statement. Now, by the way, that thing shocked me. And I said that poverty can make you stupid. Because that's stupid. At least you give me my shoe. So that when I'm going to preach, I go in a good shoe. Yeah. Do I have to carry the fact that I haven't paid rent in 6 months on my forehead? Those are other matters for another day. For now, I'm in a good shoe. You appreciate the shoe? Hey, a shoe of 800K. That is like 15 or 20 years ago. So that was like a shoe of 4 man now. Hey, so at least you appreciate the shoe. Other things we'll talk later. Eh? Landlord, those are yours. I'm in a shoe of what? But you see, poverty can make you stupid, eh? Completely stupid. Now, then there's another man that he was here. A man comes, you know these kids, eh? Who come sitting Kasori, eh? At the junction. Kasori. Eh? Then the kid says, Sebo gula nonya school fees. Then they say that, school fees? Osoma. Wow. So he says, okay, here is my number. You go and tell your parent who sent you here to call me. So the parent calls the guy and says, hey, man, my child told me that you gave him this number. And what he said, yes, I want to pay the child's school fees until they finish or until as long as I'm alive. I will pay their school fees. Do you know what the mother said? That if you can't give me the money, we don't want the school fees. And she refused it. Now you think people want to be rich. They don't. They don't. But there are so many people who don't want to be rich. And so you leave people to fight for their right to be poor. Because they have that right. Now even God is not going to infringe it on you. You understand? So you have to first convince yourself that you're a child of a king. And you deserve the best things. Like if the world out there, children of the devil are enjoying good things, how much more are you? Did God create them for the children of the devil? Did the devil create any gold? Yes. So why should his children be the ones enjoying it? Because the children of God have been deceived and now they are not willing. So now here is this man of God. Lord told him, you're not willing. Now, when the Lord explained to him what willing is, he went and got scriptures concerning wealth and abundance and what? And started meditating on them until he was completely convinced that he deserves the best things in the world. Then he says the first thing that happened, not even long after that, he goes to buy a car, now to get rid of his old car. So the man who is selling the car at the dealership says, what do you do? He says, I'm an evangelist. So he says, no, I think, what kind of car do you want? He tells him what his range was. He said, no, I'll give you a better car because you do the work of God. So he gave him a car which was almost twice the value of what he could afford, because now suddenly this man sees that you deserve better than that, because you've put it inside yourself. Now, until it's inside you, nobody is going to see that you deserve it. You understand? Eh? So people can look and know that, hey, but you shouldn't be in this place. And sometimes those people are the ones who, other people are the ones who tell you, but what are you still doing in a house like this? Now, when somebody tells you that, you know there is something they are seeing. Don't say, what do you mean? This is what I can afford. No. Receive it. So you say, hey, so as far as your judgment is concerned, I should be in a better house. Tell me more about this. Eh? Now you're willing. Eh? He says, no. Now somebody of your caliber, you should be what? You should be this. Hey, thank you very much. Then you chew on that. Because somebody comes and says, you deserve something better. Now, if you don't feel it, you've missed the Lord somewhere, because other people are seeing what you're not seeing, and you're supposed to be seeing it, so then you can receive it from other people. You understand? So now this guy goes, and you know, of course, the rest is history. Now, what I was saying here is this: first, go to something from the end of the earth. I will cry to you, and my heart is overwhelmed. When you are at a situation and your heart is overwhelmed by something that is beyond you, okay, then it says, lead me to the rock. Eh? That is higher than I. Now the rock, a rock is revelation. Eh? A rock means revelation. Okay, the rock, you know, hide in the cleft of the rock in a revelation, knowing that you're protected by God and everything. That's why Peter says you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus says you're safe as the rock. Because on that rock, the reality of Christ's identity and his deity, I will build the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, that's the rock. Now, then, it means you're overwhelmed because you have been operating at a lower level of revelation than you're supposed to be operating at. So when you feel overwhelmed, now, sometimes the Lord will bring you into a place of being overwhelmed because you've run the distance of the revelation you previously had. Now, it's not going to take you to the next level. Now, you realize that I knew something and it was working for me. But now I feel it's no longer working. Or at least I feel I've stagnated. There's something that's not right. I was developing. I seem to be moving. Then I stopped somewhere. Then I ask myself, why did I stop? Then now it's time for you to look for a rock, for a revelation that is higher than the one you are at. And there is always one that is higher. Okay? Now that's the point at which, now when you understand that, when you go to actually really spend time in God with prayer, it's not a one-way communication. That is what they call religious prayers, where you talk and go and sleep. Okay? Now, any real communication is two-way. Okay? Of course, he's not going to talk for 3 hours like you did or something. But you have to have received something from God. Otherwise, why did you go to pray? How can you go and talk to somebody who is not talking back to you? Now, you might not receive it in form of a word, a real word, but an impression of what you're supposed to do. Then you go there, and then he tells you, now, you did this, now I want you to do this, I want you to do this. Or an empowering. Sometimes it comes in form of an empowering. And then you do things which you didn't know to do. Like you move from one step to the other, and you seem to be permanently on the move. Like now I actually surprise myself by how I am permanently moving from one step to doing something. And I say, I never was like this. But I went and allowed myself to be overwhelmed. Why am I, why is this and this not? Why do I seem to have run to the end of it? I got a revelation some time ago. It was powerful and wonderful. It has run, That is true even for other things, even for things like marriage. You can have revelation on marriage and it runs out. Then somehow I'm no longer in love. Your revelation has run out. Eh? So you go and say, lead me to a rock that is higher than I in this marriage. Amen? Yes, that is true. Because there was a time everything was sweet and nice and what. Eh? Then suddenly everything is, a drug, perfunctory, it's not working, Then it's time to be taken to a rock that is higher than what you know. So God comes and injects some new revelation. Eh? In your marriage, and then suddenly it seems like you've just started afresh, okay? Or in whatever, in your life, especially. This is what I'm talking about. But here, what I wanted to communicate today is this: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We do not have too long to be alive, and we are not going to die, but we do not have too long to be alive. So we have to have a kingdom mindset like that Chiman. Of where we are going to do this and do that. Now, imagine somebody so focused, or even these guys of immunization, the Bill Gates and what, so focused on doing evil so that they can go and receive their reward at the foot of hell, the hottest of the fire. But the children who are going to the throne of God are only thinking about temporary things. It is so painful, by the way, because you see people who you look at somebody and this one, he does not think a minute past this life. There is no sense of eternity in them whatsoever, none. So then they are pulling this direction. You say, but do you understand the days in which we are living? Do you know that actually we are at the end of days, and that the things which seem to mean a lot now are going to become useless in a time not too far away from now. Unless, of course, you acquired them for the ultimate goal of soul winning. Okay? Ultimate goal of soul winning. So now, even here, there are people who are not willing. Who are not willing to be what? To be, blessed. And they say, how can you say we are not willing? But they are not. They really are not. Because they, in your mind, you've set a place which you think, if I can achieve this, I'll be comfortable. But that is not, now if you achieve that, are you going to win people over? Are people going to look at you and their heart stops? Like Jacob? So if you have your car house in Zana, like I should have had, and your car what? Is somebody going to look and say, man, my heart has stopped? So now if you're looking about, so if you're thinking beyond yourself, then you have to think bigger things than just what would make you comfortable. Now, I want this, I acquire this, then I can pay my kids' school fees. Like, people's hearts have to stop when they see your things. Eh? Then they say, now I believe. Eh? And it is so easy. By the way, let me tell you, there's nothing that opens hearts like what? Money. Nothing. Eh? You go and give somebody money and preach to them the gospel. Now preach to them when they are hungry. Eh? Do you know the Bible says, now you know people don't understand. Do you know the scripture says, use unrighteous mammon to buy what? Friends on this earth. So now me, I learned that. Use unrighteous mammon. Now when I go to that place where they kept me for 4 days, when I go back there, hey, pastor, then I get my wallet, 50K. Then they say, but pastor, where is your church? We want to come and fellowship. I say, you come. But it's because of 50K. Now, the Bible says, you get us that scripture. And I said to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon. Now, why do you have to bother with somebody when 50K can sort them? Eh? You understand? And this is Jesus who said this. Eh? It's read in your Bible. Eh? It's read in your Bible. Use unrighteous mammon to make friends. There are people who just a simple, when God has blessed you, you just go and bless them and see how they will not receive the Lord. Even Muslims, I'm telling you. You go there with your gospel, open the Bible, he says, I don't believe in the Bible. Let's try and see if you don't believe in 1 million. He said, but you know, it's not that you're buying. Some people say, now, are you buying people to be saved and what? I'm not the one who said this. Eh? And I said to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon. Now, when somebody is your friend, they will listen to you properly. Okay? Now, and it is, man, you know what's up? So what is, man, that's a very good point. Let me buy for you lunch. Some lunch. Then they say, pastor. Pastor. Now, there was a man, when I was there, you know, I'd be standing there, and I'm praying in tongues, and I'm praying in tongues. And said, so you think if you pray, God is going to save you? You pray. So I just look at him, and I continue praying in tongues. So, huh, so what if you're praying? Now the man, when I go there, pastor, also has pray for us. Eh? Friends, using Android, yes, what? And it's the truth now. And like, if you do not understand the urges for God to bless us, okay, and how it is our willingness that is going to determine how much we are blessed, praise the Lord. The reason people do not get the real gist of what the Word of God is saying is because they do not allow it to infect their mind in a way that it transforms your thinking. You understand? And every word, words make sense only in as far as there is a picture attached to them. Do you understand? So, if I came and said, you know, I drove, let's say, in a certain car, let's say a Range Rover, then I came, then I played the Yamaha keyboard, and power drums. This happened, then I put on my iPhone, then I checked the internet, then I did what? You understand what I'm saying, don't you? But what if you lived 100 years ago, when there was no internet, there was no Range Rover, there was no iPhone, there was no what? Now all those words are rubbish. You understand? So the only reason the words mean anything is because when I say iPhone, you know what I'm talking about. When I say internet, you know. When I say Range Rover, you know. When I say what, you know. You understand? So every word, there is a picture attached to it. A word, there is a picture. A word, there is a picture. You understand? Now, if you hear the Word of God and you do not attach a picture to it, you are like somebody who lived 150 years ago and says, I flew in a Boeing 707 and did what? And I drove a Range Rover and I logged onto Facebook. Then I updated my status, showing people what I ate for breakfast. Then I tweeted. Then people are like, okay, what's this man saying? Now, you know, people say that, you know, some of you read the Bible like what? Like a novel. You read the Bible like a novel. I wish you would read it like a novel. Because when you're reading a novel, you actually are drawing pictures, aren't you? You remember those romance novels you'd read in school? Muse and what? Eh. You even start reading it and you're drawing pictures. Now, the purpose of those words was to draw a picture in what? In your mind. Now, if you read the words and you don't get a picture, you're wasting time. But now, if you read the Bible and there is no picture attached to it, then you're wasting your what? Your time. So if you go and they tell you, we're going to pour out such a blessing that there will be no room to contain it, then you do not attach a picture to those words, then you've wasted your time. Because what is a blessing that there is no room enough to contain it? What is it? What is it in your case? So I would say, if you have a compound which can only fit 2 cars, but you have 5 cars, then there is a blessing that there is no what? To contain it. If you have only 2 children, or none at all, and you have a house of 10 bedrooms, there is a blessing that there is what? Okay, you know what I'm saying. Yeah? Now, you can put any picture you want to that and define it in whichever way you want. Now, the words of God are blank checks. So somebody will see a blessing means my dream house. And then you attach a picture. Now the word comes, you put a picture. Then now you have something to hold on to. Now somebody just hears blessing. Blessing, blessing, what's blessing? It's like Boeing 707 in 1800. You understand? Now somebody goes and says, man, for me a blessing would be if I got this thing and I had this thing. That's what I would call now a real blessing. Then you get the word of God and attach a picture to it. Okay? Now finally, you are getting somewhere. So now when you're praying and believing God for a blessing, you're not just believing God for a blessing. What's a blessing? You've defined what a blessing is in your terms. Okay? Now, when you actually pray, you are hitting the head on the, you know, the nail on the head. You understand? Eh? Because for you, blessing is house. Now when you get the house, blessing will mean something else. Because now you have the house. Eh? Now for you, blessing is that dream, you know, that other business you want to acquire. This is, everybody has their own now. Then you get a picture and attach to it, and then you now chew on that picture. And then when you're praying, you're not praying religious prayers of you just Sheka Braza Tereva Shoromozotoroshe. But when you're praying, you're seeing that house. Eh? Yeah? You're seeing a house. And you're saying, this is my... Eh? Now, this house would really represent there is no room enough to contain it. Eh? Or, this amount of money, if I got it, it would really be an inconvenience for me. Where would I put it? If I take it to the bank, they would ask me, where do you get it from? Eh? Whatever. You know the anti-money laundering laws, eh? Which are actually anti-money laws. Because they don't want people to have money. Eh? So you say, if I go to all this money, what am I going to use with? Now, this would inconvenience me. Eh? Where would I put it? If I put it in the bank, it's tomorrow. If I put it in a drawer, then I will be at home. Then somebody has defined a blessing that there is no room to contain it. Then another person has just had words. And it's like somebody who lived 50 years ago, and I tell you, internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and those are words. But when they don't, when you cannot attach them to something, you know, they are empty words. So there has to be a real picture. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Now, words without picture, and that's how we live our lives. Now, imagine if I'm trying to describe somebody to you. You know, she's tall. You know, she's light-skinned. She's beautiful. Now, all those words, every word I say, your sketch is going in. Isn't it? So you're sketching. So I say she's tall. She says she's dark skinned. You know, she's a bit light complexion and what. She's beautiful. She does this. Don't you know her? She does it. Now every other thing you're drawing a sketch. Now that's what actually, like that's. But now when it comes to the word of God, people are not sketching. They're just hearing words. Now some of you have just had words, no sketches. Now you're going to live here and you'll live the same as you came. You understand? Eh? Have you ever tried directing somebody to your home? Those people don't know how to receive directions. So somebody tells you, because when they are, then there are people who know how to receive directions, and the ones who know how to receive the word of God. You tell him that, you know, reach that Shell petrol station there. You see it? Yes. Now take a right turn. Now go around 50 or 80 meters. Now the person is drawing a picture in his mind. Now, when you get to 50 or 80 meters, there is a Y junction. Take the side on your right. Then now drive on. Then do this, do that. Now people who know how to receive the word of God, the next thing you know, they are knocking on the gate. Now others, you say, take Victor Shell petrol station. His mind has closed. Then reaches Shell. Wagambia, but you are sharing Corontia. Then he said, now take, go 50 meters. 50, then he switches off. 50 meters. Now people like that cannot even receive the word of God. Because can't you draw a picture in your mind and say that now go here, go there? Now the person actually is standing somewhere, but your words are all being put in pictorial form, and then he has already gone, in his mind he's moving on that route. Then you see, then you meet a red gate. Yeah, now skip that one. Then what? Now the third one. Eh? Have you seen a gray gate? Now that's the gate. Okay. Then he says, thank you. Okay, cut it. The next thing you know, the guy is hooting at the gate. Now that one will receive the word of God because he knows how to attach pictures to words. Eh? Now there's somebody I know. Man. Directing them is a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. He will call you 10 times. Eh? 10 times. For a simple direction, which somebody will get in one. Now, you come also to the word of God. Those are people who you say, they will not, like, and it's something I've said so many things today. Eh? But now somebody who is actually, will pick out just the one thing, they will just go with that. You can't go with everything. If you try to go with everything, you'll get nothing. They will pick out just one segment of what I've spoken about. Living your life purposefully, the days are evil, or, you know, I've even forgotten them myself. Eh? Because they are, or, you know, this. Then, he goes with that, then says, okay, this is what I've received. So now every word that I'm going to receive from this day onwards, I'm going to put a picture to it. And the picture is what does what? Is what brings forth the realization of those words. You know, if you watch those crime and investigation channels and you see those police sketches, those guys are prophetic, man. Eh? They will draw a sketch of somebody just based on a description of somebody who saw them briefly. They say, what age? This age. Huh? What color? Black. What kind of what standing out feature? What kind of hair? Dark. And they will draw a sketch. And the next thing you know, the sketch looks like the person. They say, how did they do that? Those people must be good recipients of the word of God. Because if you can receive simple directions and draw somebody like that, and then people can look and say, yeah. Then they even put out a sketch. Have you seen this person? People say, this looks like an Athanasius. You know? And he stole what? Money. So, I'm joking. So, imagine that kind of accurate detail. Now, what if actually every word that came from the Lord gives you a word through the pulpit, through your Bible, you know, reading and so on, and you actually receive it with that level of intricate detail and say, now what does this mean? What picture do I get out of this word that the Lord has told me? Okay? And then you start putting skeleton on the word. And sometimes the Lord will tell you one word which leads to so many things. Not sometimes, a lot of times, one word. I remember when he told me, I think around 2012, that your problem is insecurity. Just that one statement. Very profound. Okay? Now, also him, it was that same scenario of, I used to wonder why I do certain things certain ways and so on. Why, you know. And so, one day I went and did something which I was not proud of completely. I was at I wrote this in the book, I was at a cafe somewhere here. And then somebody, the waiter messed up my order, and I blasted him in very, very not so good words. Yeah. These days I totally have control over them. Although I use them, but I use them when I know I want to use them. But they have not died out, they are there. But I don't use them in emotion. I use them when, you know, yeah. I use them the way, you know, some people, the way Jesus used to use them. When he says, you, what? Whitewashed tombs. Brood of vipers. How can you survive the damnation of hell? Man, I read Matthew 23 and I was shocked. Jesus said these words. Man, it wasn't a joking subject. You brood of vipers, your white whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear clean, but inward are full of dead men's bones. Blind words. What a whole chapter of Busungu. Then he says, how can you survive the damnation of hell? Man, I say, now this is not a joke. Now, okay, anyhow, as I say, moreover, he was talking in the synagogue, telling Pharisees in their synagogue. Man, Now, so I came and said, what was, so I was saying, but why can't I just, I mean, not get angry? Must I get angry? Why can't I just ignore certain things? Why can't I do what? Why is it difficult for me to do this? So I was praying in my compound and praying in tongues. But those are the things which were going through my mind. But I'm praying in tongues. Kumbe, God was leading me to something very powerful. I'm praying in tongues. Then I just found myself, but what's my problem? Then I heard the voice very clear saying, your problem is insecurity. Now, those are the only words God told me. But I got to know what insecurity is, how to get rid of it. I got to know other things. Just by that one sentence, your problem is insecurity. Profound, clear from the Lord. Very profound. And it transformed my life and the life of those who want to learn. And who have character issues who want to learn. But then, of course, there are not that many. Because some people don't want to learn. Praise the Lord. So, but my issue is this. The one sentence got so many things. I added, it's like a skeleton. So you add on flesh, add on flesh, add on flesh. Now, what if God told you one word? If you just picked one word from what he said, just one. I'll say, now, from this day onwards, I am not going to read the word of God and I do not attach some kind of picture to it. When he says, I'm seated together with him in the heaven places, what does that really mean? How can I be seated with him in the heavenly places? Okay? I'm honest. But you have the mind of Christ. I said, what? I have the mind of Christ. That funny things can go through my mind. You mean this is how Christ was? But no, I know he wasn't like this. So it means I have the capability to think like what? Like Christ. So then I start saying, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So now, he's not saying you will have. It says you have. Hey, you already have it. You are. So I say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Then suddenly you start finding that your mind is more, you know, manageable. Amen? Than now, I remember somebody came to me and, you know the way the things the mind can do. He told me, I have this thing, I have this problem. What? I just told him, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It does not say you will have or you might have. It says you have. That is a fact. So then why am I still thinking weird things? Because I have not yet brought myself to put a picture to this thing. So I say, now, what would Christ be thinking in a situation like this? Imagine Jesus walking. What would he be thinking? That's what I'm thinking. Okay, by faith. Not yet. But then you put a picture to it. Then put a picture. Now, you can build anything out of one sentence. One sentence of the word of God. Either spoken by Rhema or Logos. Anything by just adding a picture to it and say, how do I get this thing and make it an absolute reality in my life? Put picture, put the next thing, you actually do have the mind of Christ. Okay, you do, but you're closer to that reality than you've ever been. When you started believing, even you would be ashamed to say it. I remember one time, things which people say when they are very ashamed to say them. Someday, some Arsenal guy told you, we are going to win a triple. I don't know, a triple of what? Then he said, the Premier League, the FA Cup, and the Champions League. So I said, and what? And the Champions League. I said, now this guy, well, that is faith. Yeah. So he was putting a picture, but hasn't yet happened. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You're coming here for the first time, we alternate between actually studying the times in which we are living and helping the people prepare themselves for that time. Now, when we are teaching conference, we are teaching in time because we are seeing people that one time. But then on top of that, more than that, having told you what time we live in, then we have to prepare you to be effective in that time. I remember when we were just saved, people would come and teach. I remember a pastor came up and I wavu ubi. Now a certain preacher told me that he had just spent when you'd have no money and you go to those vukalai where they are sikaring mputa. So, and it was the cheapest, nutritious food to have. Because mputa is nutritious. So you go mputa and they put for you some kachumbari and muogo. And actually, you've had a perfect meal, proteins, water, and everything. Carbohydrate. Yeah? Anything above that is just luxury, but that is actually what? That is a good meal, a good meal. You cannot deny that. So you have your mbuta and what? So you sit there and destroy the thing. Then they give you even some lemon to cut the masafu so that you enjoy your thing what? Very well. Then after eating mbuta the whole night, and you had eaten lunch and then you had supper. But the problem, man, is you should not sweat when you ate mbuta last night because it's terrible. Now, then he goes to the pastor, and the pastor says, "But hey, wavu bubi, omwavu unyange mputa." The guy said, he looked at the pastor and said, "But this one." Now, so I remember people tell, so they come and tell you that, man, this is poverty is bad. Poverty is bad. Poverty. Okay, now we know it's bad. So how do we come out of it? And they don't tell you. Now, do you know? Most of the people whom we used to preach the gospel, all of them became bafere. Because you know poverty is bad, and nobody tells you how to get out of poverty. So you end up saying, okay, I'll do what I will do. I know I'll do what I will do to get out of it. So now we tell people end time, but we don't just stop there. After we've taught them end time, we teach them how to live in this end time. Now, what I'm telling you today is live a purposeful life. Understand what you're supposed to do and understand that all the good things that God wants for you are for an eternal purpose. The only thing that ultimately will count is the salvation of the souls of men. How many people, through what God has done to you, receive the Lord Jesus Christ because of what they have seen God do through you. Amen? That is the ultimate what? Purpose. Now you see the people of those of the world, for them they know the ultimate purpose is to recruit people into darkness. So when they get wealth, they know their wealth is for a purpose. And the purpose is to recruit people into what? Darkness. And they actually are committed. Of course, the devil doesn't give you any leeway to become lazy. He has chivoko. But we should be able to push ourselves, even if God is gracious, to understand that the whole things that God intends for us, for our good, are ultimately so that other people might see Jesus Christ in us and then turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for everything that you have done here this day. I thank you, Father, because your word is a light unto us. I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you in the name of Jesus, Father, for the wonderful things that you do in these people. I thank you for the increment, for the increase, for the connection, for the abundance in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because those who have experienced stagnation, I break stagnation in the name of Jesus. I break stagnation in Jesus' name. And I release a grace for you to move from one level where you're stuck to the next. Stand up if you feel you need to be pushed from a level to the next, where you feel you are moving, but then you got stuck. In the name of, stand up very fast, you got stuck. Now, in the name of Jesus, I release a special grace for you to move very fast to the next level. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as it is in the Watchman Ministries, and in my life, I pray in the name of Jesus that these people shall not stagnate, shall move from one level to the next. Now, anybody who has stagnated, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because now they receive a fresh, like an input from the Lord that connects you to the right people. And now you move on, you move, and you receive an instruction from the Lord, which will be your next step. Now, many of you will receive an instruction. Some it will come in the form of a dream. Some it will come as an opportunity which you have to be open and alert to. And you take a chance of that opportunity and you enter into your next level. Say amen. Amen. Say I enter into my next level. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I also feel that there are some people, okay, you may sit down. I also feel like there are some people who, like spiritual attacks in the night in form of dreams of, you know, terror, especially Some of them, you know, some dreams of terror where you really are under attack at the night. Eh? If you're such a person, stand up and break it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, stand up and break it in Jesus' name. Any dream that's an attack of, hold my hand in the name of Jesus. Bad dreams. Eh? Okay, I break that witchcraft in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to take your hand off him. What's your name?
Kalonji Eddie.
Eddie, I command you to take your hand off him in Jesus' name. In the name of... Who is Philip? I'm hearing Philip. Who is Philip? Is anyone called Philip? You're Philip, eh? Hey, you come. You pass here. In the name of Jesus, eh? They shall not come back again, eh? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Where do you stay?
Satan.
Are you married?
No.
Do you have a housemate? Somebody you stay with?
No.
Eh?
No.
Or somebody in the, like...
Okay, I rent on there are 6 houses where I rent.
There's somebody within that neighborhood who... Anyway, I protect you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And it's somebody whom you're close to, eh? Who, like, even sometimes comes to your place, eh? In Jesus' name, I protect you. And it shall come back no more, eh? In the name of Jesus. But you'll even know, because when he comes, then you'll have that thing. Then when he doesn't come, then you don't have it. You understand, eh? Then you know this is the person. Because he comes today, then you have the dream again. And then when you cut him off, then it doesn't happen. You understand, eh? Okay, amen. Now, you also, eh? Let me first, you stand there. Okay, in the name of Jesus, I break every attack of the enemy.
Amen.
Upon your life, in
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Is this your first time to come?
No.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, now, our last fellowship of the year is which date? What date is it? 20th, eh? 20th December, eh? Okay. Now, on 20th December, which will be our last fellowship of the year, the Lord is leading me to tell you that I want us to organize all of us a special seed. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to think up a special seed, and that's going to be your seed for 2020, and for to prepare your heart for what it is that the Lord is doing in 2020. So I have, I want you to I wanted to give you time. This is something which the Lord has been impressing on me. Even right now, he has just brought it up. I'd forgotten about it, but I've been feeling it. So I want you to prepare something special, even those who are not here, but who listen, you know, on our feeds, different feeds. And I want it to be brought on 20th to fellowship on 20th December. Or if for some reason you have gone up country, sometime around that time, make sure you bring it here, and so that we prepare the Lord for what, we prepare our hearts rather, for what the Lord is going to do next year. Because it has to, like I taught at the conference, the years are moving very fast. Amen? Very, very fast. Papa, papa. It will be January, the next thing you know it will be mid-year, the next thing you know it will be November again, and then December. So it's moving so fast, and the Lord really, as I told you, there is the Bible prophecy of we have to really be at the top of the tree. That is Bible prophecy. You understand? Eh? Now I want us to prepare a seed to prepare us for that thing, to be at the top of the tree. That, like all the other prophecies, has to come to pass. It is non-negotiable and has to come with us. So that is going to be, you know, the key thing for that. That's the one announcement I had to make today. So please don't forget that. Eh? Prepare something. Don't let it be like the way some of you, when you come here, say, hey, get offering, then you know, then something like that. Eh? That really is not going to have any impact. I want it to be something that you think through very well. Amen? Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you touch each and every heart here and you prepare us, Father, for an increment. But even this month and the next, we see a tremendous harvest, okay? For the end of it shall be greater than even all the other months of it. So the final 2 months of it shall be greater than all the other ones in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to believe right now that you are going to go and meditate on the abundance of God that God is releasing right now.
Amen.
Do not let yourself get your mind away from abundance.
Amen.
Do not let your situation which is around you stop you from lifting up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and see the abundance that God is promising. Amen. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. I know there are things which are around you which are calling for your attention. But lift up your eyes and see the wonderful things that God has for us and that we are going to start experiencing right now in these final 2 months of the year, but also that we are going to see a great manifestation of in the coming year. God bless you.
We will go for you. That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.